Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Kimmy Walker here, and our guest this evening is Aisha Moore, who is the founder of Self-Care by Aisha, where she helps professional women avoid and recover from burnout. She is known for her practical approach to stress management that is helping women all over the world erase the chaos for their lives. Welcome, Aisha.
Thank you, Kimmy. I'm so glad I could be here and speak with you.
Let's start off. There's so much about you. You have a great, great website with a lot of tips, and I just really love the topic of self-care. So why don't you just start off by telling the audience how you became the coach that you are today?
Sure. So I became the coach I am today because I have my own experience with burnout. I didn't know the signs. I probably had been going towards burnout for many years, probably had a few small bouts with burnout, but then it got so bad that I started to have a lot of physical symptoms of being too stressed, being burned out, that I was ignoring for years. And then eventually my body said, like Tamar Braxton says, have several seats. And I had to sit all the way down and really have to rebuild my life in a different way that prioritized my health, my mental health, my physical health, my spiritual health, in order to have the energy, the creativity, the thoughtfulness I needed to be able to be of service in the world the way I wanted to be without compromising my own health.
Okay. And for you, what was the moment when you realized you needed to make a change?
So there were probably several moments where I figured that out. But it was just one particular weekend where I went to my favorite place. I was doing a home renovation, and I went to my favorite place, IKEA. And I was in there, and I started sweating. Everybody seemed to be too close to me. I just wasn't feeling really well. And I know now that I had a panic attack. I didn't know what was happening because we all have these images of someone having like this breakdown in public on the corner, crying, gets wheeled off in an ambulance. And I didn't recognize what that meant, like having a panic attack. And so I went to work the next day and I just started to not feel well. And I asked my office manager to call an ambulance and I rode away in the ambulance. Then I started taking days off and then I would feel that way again, take days off. And then finally what happened was my boss said, don't come back in here until the doctor says you can come back. Normally, it's the other way around. They're like, get a doctor's note, you know, to say that you really were sick. For me, it was the opposite because I'm so passionate about the things that I do in the community and serving people that I just kept trying to come back before I was ready. And finally, that gave me permission to just take some time off. I'm very fortunate to have short-term disability that I could use. And I was able to use that to get to the bottom of what was wrong with me. And it turned out to be overwork, overwhelm, and overstress.
What are some signs people should look for to help them say, you know what, I need to probably make some changes or I need to do a little bit better job about my self-care? What are some things they can maybe look for as far as stressors or just how they're living day to day, how they're feeling?
And so I'm so glad that your podcast is called Early Accountability. Because
preventative, right?
Right. Some of the stuff I mentioned about the panic attacks and stuff like that, those are when it's gone too far. But there's some other signs that I was missing that I want to let your audience know that they should look for that they wouldn't even expect are the things that could be signs that they're stressed out. So one thing is around the chaos and lack of order in your life. So are you losing your keys all the time? If you're a person who takes public transportation, are you always losing your train pass? You not know where it is in the morning? Is that making you late? And then are you always, you know, running out of gas, literally in your car, not stopping at the stop signs? All of that stuff is a sign that you have too much on your plate because you can't do basic things like that. Give yourself enough time to get to work. You don't have the forethought to think about like, okay, maybe I should put my keys somewhere so I'm not looking for them. You're just so tired that you're coming, you're throwing your stuff down. And then in the morning, there's a lot of chaos. That's one sign. If you're laundry's not done, your dishes aren't done, and you're still getting a whole lot of stuff done. Like, I was going to Black Lives Matter protests. I was going to city council.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was getting stuff done. But the rest of my life that people couldn't see was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the signs that when the rest of your life is a mess, that there's too much on your plate. And they're literally precursors. And I'm not just saying this off the top of my head. Literally, there is a book called The Gentle Path to the 12 Steps, where they talk about the signs that you're going to relapse back into like alcohol or maybe sex addiction. Those are the same signs of chaos that can show you that you're too stressed. And so we all have all of them. We're not perfect. Like, everybody doesn't fold their laundry all the time. But if it's all accumulative, so the laundry's not done and you can't find your keys, and there's no towels when you woke up in the morning, and you are sniffing your laundry because you haven't done your laundry, all of that stuff, can't find your keys, all of that together, if that's happening for you on an everyday basis, those are really good signs that you need to step back and get it together.
So what would be some good first steps if someone is resonating with what you're saying? Like, okay, been there, done that, can write the book on it, living that right now. Like we say, like early kind of, but what are some steps, some of the first steps they need to take in this moment to help get order back to their lives?
So the first thing you need to do is just simply take inventory. I recommend that people do what I call a self-care audit or an energy audit, and then track your life for one day a week, maybe 2 days, and like write down everything that you do in a day. And as you're doing it, mark off whether it is putting an energy deposit into your life or if it's an energy withdrawal. And you can look at the end of the day and see like, like a lot of stuff that I do on a daily basis seems to be really draining, and nowhere on my list am I doing anything to add energy to my life. So that's the first step that I recommend. And then after that, then that's where you're trying to move around your balance, right? So you're starting to figure out what are some of the things that are draining me that I could just stop right now. I don't even know why I've been doing this. I don't know why I didn't set that boundary a long time ago. And then replace that time with something that's more positive, like a morning routine, getting yourself together in the morning and, you know, putting a playlist on that gets you hyped up. The night before, you knew where your keys were. You did some stretching. You ate your breakfast. You got on the door on time. So you're just strolling to work and you're just having a good time in the morning. Those are some of the things that I recommend. So do your audit and then start to add some stuff to bring that energy into the right balance.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions about self-care?
Okay, so here is the number one misconception, and I'm going to break it for everybody right there, right now. Self-care is more than manicures, pedicures, and massages. Now, those are things that I do, and I consider them pampering. If you look at a pyramid, it's kind of like on the top of my pyramid. But the foundation of my pyramid is order, is being on time. It is monitoring my calendar to make sure that I have not put so much on my plate that I cannot manage my schedule. Things are falling through the cracks. It is making sure I get up from my desk and taking a walk. So the manicure, pedicure, and the massage, there, when you go do that, that's not going to help you have a better relationship with your family. It's not going to help you communicate better with your supervisor. It's not going to help you deal with your panic attacks. It's not going to help you with any of those things. You're going to look cute. You might feel refreshed because like my nail shop, like we in there giggling and, you know, having a good time. Black woman owned nail shop. So that's good. I get that positivity. But there's a whole bunch of other things going on in my life that I have to spend time to address. And that's, to me, the biggest thing about self-care is what you do for self-care needs to either be solving or reducing a problem that you have in your life. So it needs to match. The solution needs to match the problem. And for some of us, we're doing a whole lot of solutions that are dancing around what our real problems are.
How can one avoid being like overcommitted or overwhelmed? I know if you're a person, like, especially if you're like, okay, a high achiever, a go-getter, doing different things, got different pots going on. You got your family life, your work life. You may have a spiritual life, other organizations and things that you're doing. You might have a side hustle business. How do you prevent being overcommitted or just stretching yourself too thin?
So the first thing that we have to learn is that there are seasons in our life And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do everything in every season. So at the time of my burnout, one of the things that contributed to it is that I had this plan for my career path to move up quickly in my career path. And one of the things I decided to do was join a nonprofit board. That was one of the goals I set for myself. And then next thing you know, I was on four of them. And that helped me get the job that I always dreamed of. Well, once I got the job I always dreamed of, I still have four board positions. And the job that I always dreamed of was very demanding. So essentially, I had a full-time job and four part-time jobs. And that just wasn't going to work. That's where all the burnout came from. And so there were things that I was passionate about. I wasn't, you know, necessarily like upset or anything of that nature, because sometimes we think we have to be like mad at the world or whatever. It wasn't that. I literally just had too much on my plate. And so now I am really, really attached to the vision that I have for my own life. So the vision that I set, not the vision that my what my family thinks I should be doing, not what my career path tells me I should be doing. So every decision, I'm like, is this moving me away or towards my vision? And then if I add something, I have to take something off. And lastly, when you think about how we end up with a full plate, it's not that like we're ordering life off the menu. We're like, okay, so
right.
I'm going to have a life that has A, B, C, and D. I know exactly what it is. It's more like a buffet. You say yes here, say yes there, you say yes there. And then you're like, oh man, I have all this stuff on my plate. And the thing that I really want to do has come about, and I have all this other stuff. So you just add it. You don't take it away. You don't negotiate it. And so now I understand there's only so, not even so many hours in the day. I only have so much energy to actually be effective. And it was real cute to be like, I'm on four boards. That was really cute. But how effective was I being on those boards? How was I really giving my all and being excellent on those boards? I doubt it, because I literally didn't have time to do so. So we really have to think about figuring out what the priorities are and not feeling like we have to do everything all at once.
Okay, that's awesome. Tell us more about the services that you offer and how the audience can stay in contact with you.
So as was said in my bio, I help professional women avoid and recover from burnout. And what that really is that I help people figure out how to relieve their stress. And the services I provide are both group coaching, individual coaching, as well as I have several online course opportunities that you can sign up for. And so you can go to my website, www.selfcarebyaisha.com, and Aisha is spelled A-I-S-H-A. There you can find all the things that I am doing. And so what I find is most important for people is to actually write your self-care plan down. And so I'm finding that most people don't have that. I mean, I didn't have one. And so I started doing this. And so most people don't have that. I have a background in health education, actually. So I created self-care planning workbook that you can get for free. And it's a 10 steps, and it'll just walk you through step by step how to make your own plan, but a plan that's effective and a plan that works for you.
And that can be found on your website, correct?
Yeah. So it's selfcarebyaisha.com/free gift. Because that is my gift to all of the women who want to really get this under control.
I love it. I love that health education background. That makes me happy. So definitely, definitely, audience, make sure you get the workbook and go through it. Check out the website. There's a lot of really, really good information on there. Aisha also has group coaching and individual coaching. Like, really look into it. You can't reach, I think, other goals you might have for yourself, like you were saying, oh, I want to be this and I want to go to this next job and I want to do all that, if you're not really full yourself. So being a full vessel is so important, and just making sure you take time to get grounded is just critical. So Aisha, before we leave, what is your daily mantra?
For me, it's really the phrase ease and grace. That's how I want to be able to do everything, because you know, we ask for a lot of things. We have things that we're trying to claim. And I've learned a lot of life lessons the hard way. And I don't want to learn them the hard way anymore. So whenever I affirm something or pray about something, I'm like, can I have that with ease and grace? Because I don't want to learn any hard lessons anymore.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. Self-care by Aisha. kimmywalker.com. Please make sure you follow, go to the website, get your free gift, and follow her on social media for some great tips on how to just make sure that you're in alignment and moving forward in life and kind of, like we said, not getting into the chaos. So Aisha, thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Kimmy. I really appreciate it.
Until next time.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.